In this episode of Political Ideologies, I'll be talking about the conservative principle of the organic society and state. As conservatives believe that human beings are dependent and security-seeking creatures, it implies that humans cannot exist outside of society, but need to belong to a society. Now, individuals are parts of lots of different types of social groups, whether that be kind of their local community or on a much smaller scale, their family or friends or colleagues. It can also be widened out to encompass the whole nation as well. So for a conservative, it's these social groups that provide individual life with security and meaning. And you don't want people to be removed from their social obligations because this would create an atomistic society, which means that kind of everyone is working as a kind of separate individual and not kind of realizing the social obligations and ties they have to those communities. The French sociologist Durkheim called this idea of atomism anomie, so you may see that in some textbooks. So in this principle of organic society, there is a strong emphasis on people doing their duty to fulfill those ties of obligations between them and the people around them. And only if people do not fulfill those obligations will the law via the state get involved. So, for example, parents need to be caring and look after children that they may have. As a neighbour, you should be considerate of those around you, not create noise or mess or etc. And as a son or daughter, you need to respect not only the laws of society, but your parents as well. So in order for society to work, each individual needs to willingly accept the value of the social obligations that bind them together in the organic society. Now, what do I mean by organic in this phrase? Well, it's this idea that society itself is an organism. So if we imagine it like a human body, different parts of society act as the different parts of the body. Each part of the body performs a specific and very essential function for the collective whole. So if we think about it on a society level, each individual person is part of the overall body of society, and everybody needs to play their part, do their duty, in order for that collective to work effectively. Our key thinker Edmund Burke comes in useful here, for he said that each section of society should play their part and love the little platoon to which they belong. So a platoon is a kind of section of an army, so it's a military kind of term. So he's kind of using the army as a metaphor for society as a whole, and that different parts of society are in different platoons. But just like how the army is patriotic and, you know, are fighting for the same principles, let's say, each person, no matter what platoon you belong to, should still love the platoon you are in and kind of see the higher purpose of the platoon as part of a wider army. If people do not acknowledge or act on the responsibilities or bonds, social obligations, ties, etc., that they have with other people in their platoon or outside it, then human society lacks the vital cohesion it needs and will start to become atomistic or kind of separate and isolate itself into separate individual units that are self-interested, self-sufficient, and, you know, yeah, society will break down. Now, the idea of organic society might make quite a lot of sense at face value, but there are some serious implications for this principle in terms of the ideology as a whole. And the key one being that it favours the idea of a natural aristocracy, a natural hierarchy of people, and it favours the idea that inequality is natural. Now, if you believe that inequality is natural, then that means that arguably progress is going to be harder, or change is going to be harder to achieve, to raise people from the lower sections of society up. Because if you have an organic view that that is where they belong, that's the platoon where they belong, that's where they were kind of born, that's where they should stay, then things like social mobility don't make any sense, because the natural order of things is for people to stay in the place in which they were born into. It also starts to favour the idea of hierarchy, in that different parts of the society are more important than others. So if we look at it from a 19th century perspective, for instance, when, you know, the Chartists were arguing for greater suffrage for working class men in order to get the vote, essentially, and for women to get the vote, the argument was that working class people don't have the kind of ability to know what a good decision is, or women don't have the ability to understand how to make political choices. If we go back to the organic metaphor of the state or society as a human body, you know, one can argue that your fingers are important, but if you lose a finger or two, if you lose all your fingers, you can still survive. Whereas if you don't have your brain or you don't have your heart, then you will die. So it starts to have the idea that there is a hierarchy of people, that some people are worth more than others, and that they should be able to potentially, you know, profit more from the suffering of others as well. So the counter argument to this, the way in which a conservative would justify the position of the most advantaged in society, is that the most advantaged people also bear heavier social responsibilities than others in society. So, for example, the owner of a business, of a big business, let's say big manager, owns lots of factories, has a lot of profit, earns a lot of money. He has a higher responsibility to make sure that the business continues to run, to protect the jobs of the workers who work in his factory. So he should therefore also be rewarded for having that heavier responsibility to ensure that everybody else still has a job. But again, the key point to stress here is that for a traditional conservative, the manager in this scenario can only come from one certain class or group of people. There is no meritocracy, because the inequality is much more deep-rooted than that. It is, you know, people are born into their positions, and that is where the hierarchy of authority comes from. But this also means that there will always be some groups of people who have political power and other people who have no political power at all, and that raises questions of how democratic society is, etc. But maybe now you can reflect on this Burkean theory of representative democracy, that representatives should make decisions themselves rather than following or being swayed by public opinion. It links to this idea that representatives, as they were in the 19th century, from the upper classes, they have better education and better knowledge of how to make the right decisions. But again, you can counter that by saying that arguably those decisions will always be for their own profit or for their own vested interests, and will deny social mobility to others. So the principle of organic society promotes the idea of an organic view of society as a whole, that there are some parts of society that are more important than others, and this creates a fixed hierarchy and an absolute authority that needs to be followed. By sticking to the organic society, the security that humans seek will be established. Every individual must play their part in the organic society in order to make sure that it continues successfully. This requires acceptance of your position within the organic society.